The robot belongs to Professor Santiago Perez and inhabits his Advanced Digital Fabrication Lab, Fab Lab for short, which brings 3D computer architectural renderings to life.
Well, my name is Santiago Perez, and I'm an assistant professor at the Faye Jones School of Architecture at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. And we're standing here at in an unusually sunny day in January in what might be described as a shed or a lab, depending on which way your gaze ends up, I guess. And we're standing here in front of a yellow machine. It's a five-axis robotic fabrication machine, and it cuts wood, it cuts through steel, it can basically do a lot of things, all directed through computer code.
Professor Perez points to his computer monitor positioned in front of what looks to be a glorified, very large drill press painted egg yellow, from which hangs a spindle holding a large drill bit. Five motors move this spindle in various directions and speeds, guided by computer configuration, rather than a real-time operator.
It has 5 degrees of freedom. That means is that the entire gantry, we have this sort of overhead structure here, and it's a flatbed table, and you can put your material down. And then the entire machine moves back and forth in what's called the Y-axis, moving away from you, can move across the bed in the X-axis, and then the tool head can move up and down in the Z. So that's 3. But if you think of all of that, just gets you kind of to your arm, if you want to make the analogy with the human body. It also has a wrist that can rotate and then angle itself in space. And what we can do with these machines, everything from what's called subtractive milling or subtractive fabrication, where we're taking away material. So you start out with wood or metals or plastics, and then you essentially start carving away. However, what's very interesting about it and its potential in architecture and design, you can produce extremely complex pattern systems with this because you're using complex geometry that's computer-driven.
Perez uses the example of an ice cream scoop. We just don't push it into the vanilla cream surface. We edge it downward at an angle, then turn the scoop towards us to fill it, creating a lovely half-tubular form in the cream surface with scales like ripples. This robotic arm can perform just as nuanced carvings.
The other thing I have on here, if we change the business end, is I have a plasma cutting torch that can literally rip through steel very quickly.
He picked up and turned over a quarter-inch disc of steel with an S carved clear through it to prove his case. Perez said when the robot is in high gear, its 5 motors create eerie musical harmonies, which we would play for you, but he forgot the computer password to turn the thing on. Absent-minded professor, he said. But beneath the drill lay 2 thick sheets of blue styrofoam. One was pocked by various organic-looking ovoid holes, each one slightly different. The other sheet mimicked the bottom of a sandy lake, undulating ridges carved by water and wind. Biomimicry, or biomimesis.
So biomimesis, or biomimetics, is looking at nature's principles and trying to apply them to man-made products and designs, but not so much the look of nature. I think we've sort of been there, done that. When someone used the word organic, you immediately think of a seashell or something, and then you imagine a house that's shaped like a seashell. That's not so much what we're interested in. We're interested in learning how nature makes things, rather than simply copying the aesthetics of nature.
Santiago Perez has a Master's of Architecture from Harvard's Graduate School of Design. He set up a similar lab at the University of Houston and has taught architecture at University of Hawaii at Manoa, South Florida at Tucson, and the Boston Architectural Center, his first gig. He was appointed to the U of A's Faye Jones School of Architecture 21st Century Chair in Integrated Practices in 2010. When not researching and publishing, Professor Perez teaches advanced studios and seminars focused on emerging modes of practice, exploring fabrication technologies, generative modeling, more about that later, and interactive architecture. And architects these days rarely labor with graphite and ink over drawing boards covered with sheets of vellum.
And we are training students and ourselves to shift from drawing to making, from using both traditional craft and construction practices, as well as advanced fabrication technologies that are coming from outside of architecture, from other disciplines, and we're incorporating those now in architecture.
Prez walks past the machine bay, the shop's computer bay, into the workroom where his third and fifth year architecture students sketch out and test ideas for fabrication. He stops next to a 16-foot tall hourglass-shaped armature constructed of sanded and beveled cedar planks, connected by individuated robot-fabricated welded steel anchors. Parametric design, he says.
You know, one thing that I find very exciting is that we're not doing away with handcraft. In fact, I'm trying to create a new term called fabcraft, and that is looking at both traditional handmade craft and construction methods and advanced fab or fabrications. I think that the potential of all of this is not to do away with the human interaction, but to augment it.
The parametric steel tower assembly, once finished, will be covered with an experimental skin and installed in a public place where people can enter the enclosure and look up. So rather than fabricating architectural models, the Fab Lab experiments with architectural elements.
So I'm trying to invent all the parts and pieces for a new way of constructing architecture, rather than trying to visualize the completed building, per se.
Santiago Perez's research has been consistently published, most recently in the book Matter by Routledge Press, his chapter titled Towards an Ecology of Making. He also presents at annual Acadia conferences with other architectural fabricators. Santiago Perez says the works leveraged from that of Erwin Hauer, a mid-century modernist Austrian sculptor concerned with what he called infinite surfaces, whose perforated modular sculptures were later adopted by architects.
Well, we're looking both at structure and skin. And right now I'm very interested in how complex shapes can create, for example, shading devices, can perhaps include photovoltaic energy-producing skins. So right now I'm primarily focused on developing kind of intelligent skins. And so a lot of these shapes are meant to act as sort of cells for orienting sunlight, for capturing daylight or views, but also for being environmentally sort of active or responsive. So some of these shapes are meant not to merely be static, but to actually change their geometry. For example, as the sun moves around during the day, you can imagine the skin sort of flexing and changing its shape and the aperture being able to collect light very efficiently.
Fab Lab uses what's known in the trade as generative design principles, harnessing intellectual forces via computers and robots, which exceed the human mind to design and construct buildings that could not otherwise exist. And Santiago Perez says, facing a lag of corporate alternative energy innovation and development in this country, small shops like this one will lead the way toward a green future.
You know, if you look within the past year or two at the covers of magazines like Wired or Forbes and other publications, you're seeing an incredible interest in sort of retooling America, you know, and remaking or rethinking how we make things in America. There was one article recently that showed this whole manufacturing and R&D sort of corridor that runs from like New Orleans through like Tennessee and up into the Carolinas. And they're all small towns. And there are incredible technology companies and manufacturing companies all throughout that corridor. So I'm very optimistic.
And one other thing, that robot which inhabits FabLab is part of a new breed of biomimetic or biologically programmed robots, which scientists at Stanford say will likely be much more compliant and stable, except for when it refuses to turn on. Damn passwords. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froley.